Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Our show and tell this morning is yesterday's Easter egg hunt. We had a fantastic turnout for the Easter egg hunt yesterday, and we are so grateful to the youth who put the Easter egg hunt together and for everyone who contributed to make that a reality. It was so much fun to be together outside safely, wearing masks, keeping our distance. And Easter egg hunts are a little bit like the beginning of that story that we read just before the first hymn, Jesus' triumphal entry. At the Easter egg hunt, everything is set up in advance, and all we have to do is go find where it's already happening. Jesus' parade into Jerusalem was set up in advance as well. He gave those instructions. You'll go into the village and you'll find a colt tied up, ready for someone to use it. But it's never been used before. And the disciples went and they found just exactly that. And there was this parade with cloaks spread on the ground and over top of the donkey, and the crowds singing and praising God. And there was Jesus coming down from the Mount of Olives. He was coming down that mountain between maybe an orchard on one side and a cemetery on the other. And a few days later, we will read the story of Jesus praying in anguish among those same trees. And then shortly after that, he will be buried in one of those tombs. The rest of this story is all but inevitable as we read on from here. Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? Gracious God, lead us along your way. Speak to us by your Spirit through these words of Scripture. Guide us, strengthen us, show us your face, and let us never stray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scripture reading this morning begins just a few verses before we left off. We will pick up at verse 37. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King. That's dangerous language. That's confrontational language. Blessed is the King. Today's scripture reading is tense. Even that story of the parade that we love to celebrate, even that is tense. See, there are three different powers converging in Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover in the story that we read today. And we know all three of those powers. The Passover festival, which actually is going on right now in our time, the Passover festival is the core festival of the Jewish people, when they ritually enact God's action to liberate the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. The people's identity is rooted in that story, the story of being enslaved in Egypt for 430 years under a merciless, dominating king. And then God acted. God humiliated that powerful king and led the people out of enslavement, ultimately into a land where they could be free, a land that they occupied all the way up until the time of Jesus. Imagine the power of that story in Jesus' time. Among people who were impoverished under Roman colonization, imagine the way that this story transformed the people's hunger for food into hunger for real, lasting freedom. That's a story that destabilized the Roman power over those people. Now, I said that there were three powers converging in Jerusalem that day. The first was that Roman power, the power of a Roman governor and a puppet king of the surrounding territories. Their names were Pilate and Herod. Rome ruled Judea and most of the known world at that point, and they ruled those areas so that they could extract wealth from them and bring that wealth back to Rome. Precious metals and exotic goods, fabrics, spices, foods. And they enforced their rule with military power. They collected taxes from the people at sword point. They kept what they called peace with legions of soldiers stationed in those outlying territories. Those legions and those political rulers, they came to Jerusalem for Passover because Passover was a dangerous time. The rulers and the legions came to Jerusalem for Passover because they were scared of those people and the story that those people were celebrating. Now, there was a second power that was already stationed in Jerusalem, the power of the religious elites. Now, there were a lot of different flavors of religious elites at the time of Jesus' ministry. Judaism was splintered into many different traditions and factions. There were priests who represented the temple institution where worship was officially centralized. There were the Pharisees who wanted worship and ritual purity to belong to the whole people. There were the Sanhedrin, who were a religious council who kind of held the tension between those two factions and several others who positioned themselves in different ways relative to Roman power, relative to the authority of the temple, relative to the needs of the people. The religious elites needed the political leaders. They needed the political rulers to affirm them and protect them. The Romans, for their part, needed the religious elites to validate their political power and to buffer their military might from the people. And it was all about managing the people. But there was a third power coming that day. There was Jesus, the power of God in human flesh. Jesus has spent all of this time teaching and healing and feeding and gathering the people. Teaching and feeding and healing and gathering the people together. He has lived every day to open the kingdom of God in human lives. And these humans, they can see it. They can celebrate it. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. No wonder the religious and political powers see this heavenly King as a dangerous threat on earth. Almost 2,000 years after this scene played out, we might dismiss Jesus' kingship as impractical. which is to say that we know those other powers very well. We know the power of scarcity, the power of wondering whether we have enough, the worry that someone else might have more than I do, whether I need that thing or not. I don't have time to figure out whether I need it because I'm serving the power of scarcity. Or the power of control, the need for my political or racial or national team to win, that desire for control over time and over the virus and over my neighbors, when I'm honest. Those desires control me by continually tweaking my need for security and meaning. But there's a third power here as well. There is here and now today the power of God healing what we may not even have known was unwell. I invite you to try on a faith practice this week. One of the faith practices that I offer this week is lament. The practice of lament, to name the violence and the injustice that we can't seem to stop. The violence and injustice that flow from those other powers that have so much sway in our world. Maybe this week you will lament the mass shootings in Atlanta and Boulder. Maybe you will lament a culture of violence disguised under the word safety. Maybe you'll lament how easily we leave the most vulnerable people behind when we are trying to care for whichever people we can reach to. Or maybe you'll lament how deeply we are in payback from exploiting the planet, and we still can't see that one as a spiritual crisis. Lament is another subversive act. The powers of control and scarcity, they don't want us to lament. They don't want us to take the time and recognize the real needs of the world around us. The power of control won't let us entrust those needs to God, which is the final move of lament. The power of scarcity just wants to scare us away from recognizing what we really hope for and really long for. And that's why I invite you to collect and write down your lamentations, and perhaps to bury those in the garden on Friday, just as happens with Jesus' story. We lament because Jesus laments today as well. In today's story, Jesus laments our human compulsion toward injustice and violence. He laments our sin. Jesus is riding into town, being hailed as the king, the one who was to come, but he knows what he is facing as he comes into town. Those human, political, and military, and religious powers, they all know our compulsion toward injustice and violence as well. They also know our sin. And they manage our sin in a different way, by pushing it off onto whoever is weakest, whoever we can set it on, whether that's Asian women or starving campesinos or that spouse who has nowhere better to go, or ultimately onto this nobody rabbi from Galilee who today is being hailed as the king. But Jesus doesn't manage our sin by pushing it off onto someone else. He doesn't manage our sin by avenging it, leading to this cycle of violence that ultimately tears us all down. Instead, Jesus chooses the things that make for peace. He takes the world's sin into himself, which means that the powers of sin no longer control him. They never did in Jesus' case, because Jesus lives without fear of the powers of sin. In place of that fear, Jesus lives by the power of love, the love that seeks to lift up the lowly and so provide for all people. He lives by the love that calls humans to account for the ways that we treat each other and ourselves and this creation. Jesus lives by a love that both tells the truth and diligently seeks out the lost and the excluded and the guilty. Jesus lives by a love that the powers of sin simply cannot tolerate. A love that the powers of sin will try to put to death. A love that refuses to let even death be the end of the story. Which means that this is not the end of the story either. I hope you join us on Thursday evening for the next part of the story. Amen. And now, a moment for mission. This is Trinity Whiteplume. She has just turned 13. Just like the gardens she has newly learned to plant and tend, she is growing in extraordinary ways. The Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, where Trinity lives, is roughly the size of the state of Connecticut, but it has only one grocery store. Oglala Lakota County, where the reservation is located, has the lowest per capita income in the country and consistently ranks as the poorest county in the nation. Thanks to gifts from One Great Hour of Sharing, the garden projects of Owe Aku are making a difference. Owe Aku is a grassroots nonprofit organization that puts people in charge of their own food supply, their own nutrition, health, and well-being. By reclaiming ancestral wisdom and teaching Lakota history and culture. For the Lakota, there is a strong spiritual connection between the land and the people. AMA's Freedom School encourages youth to learn not only about growing food, but also about the medicinal and ceremonial plants that have been used for generations. Trinity is a young, emerging leader with the potential to carry the program forward for many years. She attends and assists with every class and workshop put on by Owe Aku, and in turn, she and the other students have begun to teach their families. She says, "I want to learn my culture and my traditions from AMA's Freedom School so that I can keep them alive for the future generations." The Presbyterian Church USA partners with Owe Aku through the Presbyterian Hunger Program, which is supported by gifts to One Great Hour of Sharing. Together, we are addressing the root causes of hunger in places like the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and around the world. We will dedicate the One Great Hour of Sharing offering next Sunday on Easter. To give, simply write OGHS in the memo of your check or designate your electronic gift the same way. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.